Book of Tov. We're on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, and we're up to the second line. V'shogag b'lo miskaven b'shar mitzvos hechidomi. The Braisa that we were studying yesterday sets up a contrast between shgaga in shar mitzvos and shkoga in Shabbos. And in Shar Mitzvahs, he'll be Chayav. That's the Chumrah of Shar Mitzvahs. And in a parallel case, in Shabbos, he'll be Potter. So let's look for the case in Shar Mitzvahs, where he would be Chayav, as opposed to Shabbos, where he would be Potter. And yesterday we had a long discussion about Avodah Zorah, but that wouldn't fit into this description because in the case of Avodah Zorah in Shkaga, he would, in a parallel case, in Shabbos he'd be Chayiv, so he'd be Chayiv in both. So we're looking for a case where in Shar Mitzvos, he would be Chayiv for Shkaga, and in Shabbos he'll be Potter. So Gemara answers, this Savur Deshuman Hu V'Acholo. He had two pieces of meat. One was chalev and one was shuman. He ate one of them. He was under the impression, the mistaken impression, that that was shuman and he was allowed to eat it. Instead, he ate the chalev and he finds out about it. He has to bring a chatas. And the Bryce is telling me, Mashain came to Shabbos in a parallel case in Shabbos, by contrast, de potter, he'd be potter. And what would be a parallel case in Shabbos? So what we're learning now is the sheet of Rava. We'll get to Abaye in a minute. Diniskaven lachto chesatolush v'chota chesamachubar. Which means that he had full intention to cut something, but what he thought was, in his misimpression, he's cutting something that's no longer attached to the ground, it's not growing. And that was his shkaga. And the parallel case in Chelev would be that although he has Kavanah Sachila, he definitely intends to do an act of eating, he's mistaken about the identity of the object. He thinks that the object is Shuman, it turns out to be Chelev. Here too, in a parallel case in Shabbos, he's mistaken about the identity of the object. He thought he was cutting something that was already detached from the ground, and as it turns out, it was still growing in the ground. Herein, says Rava, lies the contrast between Shar Mitzvahs and Shabbos. In Shar Mitzvahs, he's going to be Chayav. And in Shabbos, he'll be Potter. In Shar Mitzvahs, despite the fact that he is mistaken about the identity of the object, thinking it's Shuman when it's Chelev, he brings a Korban Chatas. In the parallel case, in Shabbos, he's Potter. And the reason for that is because in Shabbos there's a special p'tur of misasek. So that with regard to chelev, we don't apply the principle of misasek. We'll try to explain why that's so. And therefore Rava says you're chayev, but in the parallel case in Shabbos of misasek, you're potter. And that's the chumrah that the Braisa refers to in Shar Mitzvahs vis-a-vis Shabbos. But now we're stuck with Abaye. Because Abaye says that on Shabbos, if he had kavanas chaticha, and he wanted to use this knife to slice something, and he was mistaken about the identity of the object, indeed he's chayav a korban. So Abaye shogag b'lo miskaven hechidomi. What's going to be the case of shkoga in Shar Mitzvahs HaTorah, for example, in Chelev, where he's going to be Chayev, and in his parallel case in Shabbos, he'll be Potter. Even Abaye has to somehow interpret this Braisa that says that within the context of a contrast between Shar Mitzvahs and Shabbos, we have a Kula in Shabbos. So you can't tell me it's a case of Iskavin Lachtoch Es Hatolsh Ve because according to Abaye Shita, he'd be chayav for a carbon in such a case. So you have to come up with a case where in Shar Mitzvahs, namely in Chelev, he would be chayav, and in the exact parallel case in Shabbos, he'll be potter. So the answer is Shogag b'lo miskaven echidomi disavar roku ublo. What happens is that somehow he has liquid chelev, right? Chelev could be in two forms. It could be solid, or if you heat it up, it becomes a liquid. The same chiyuv kares applies if you eat either the solid or the liquid. In this case, he has liquid chelev in his mouth. He'll only be chayev if he swallows that liquid chelev. But he doesn't realize that what he has in his mouth is liquid chelev. He thinks it's liquid shuman. And in fact, even more than that, he's mistaken, and he thinks what he has in his mouth is just saliva. That's called rok. And he takes a gulp and swallows what he thinks is saliva, and it turns out to be liquid chelev. Now watch what happens in this case. In this case, says Abaye, his intention was not to eat something, but rather to swallow something. Meaning, when you have saliva in your mouth, that's not called achila. I'll prove it to you. Again, this would be a subject unto itself, but on Yom Kippur, when we're not allowed to eat and not allowed to drink, if you have saliva in your mouth, presumably you're allowed to swallow it. Swallowing saliva is part of the natural function. It's not considered that you took something from the outside and you ate it, you swallowed it, you drank it. So his kavana here was not for an achila or a shasiya, but rather for a bliya. And this is parallel to the case in Shabbos, Mashenkin b'Shabbos, depotur, b'niskaven lagbia satolush v'chotach samachubar. And he's potter. What happens? He's picking up a knife off the ground. All he has intention for is what's called hagbah, to lift up the knife. He doesn't have the least bit of intention to cut anything, so he doesn't have kavanas chaticha at all. And lo and behold, on his way up, as he's carrying the knife from the lower parts to the on the ground to the upper parts, he slices a vegetable, which happens to be growing in the ground. In that case, he's potur on Shabbos. And that's even according to Abaye. That's called misasek according to Abaye, where he doesn't have any intention to do a maisa chaticha. He thinks he's doing a maisa gba, he's just lifting up a knife. And the lack of awareness that he's doing a maisa chaticha, that's called misasek. So too, in a parallel case, where he doesn't have any intention for shasiya, to drink something from the outside that was put into his mouth, but rather he's just swallowing his saliva, that means he had kavanas bliya, and bliya is not shasiya. He never had kavan of shasiya. And yet, he's chayav a karmon. And let's just finish up the next line, and then we'll try to explain the difference between Shabbos and chelev. Avol niskavi, this is Abai, lach tocha satolosh v'chotach asamachubar chayav. But in the case of Rava, which Rava classifies as misasek, where he had kavanas chaticha, albeit to cut a vegetable that he thought was ready for salad, but he instead cut a vegetable that was growing from the ground, in such a case Abai argues against Rava, that's not called misasek, and he's chayav, he has to bring a korban. The reason for that is because he had kavanas chaticha. Abai understands that misasek means he didn't have kavanas maisa at all. Like the case that I mentioned yesterday, where he rolls over and he breaks kalim in his sleep. He had no kavana at all. He didn't even realize he was rolling his body. Or, for example, he's blowing out the insides of the shofar, and so forth and so on. That's called misasek. He didn't have kavanas maisa at all. But in the case where he had kavanas maisa, that means he intended to do a chaticha, then, according to Abaye, he's chayev. So what's the case in which we have a contrast between Shar Mitzvah Satorah and Shabbos? And Shar Mitzvah Satorah is chayev, and Shabbos is potur, and that would be the case of misasek, where he didn't have kavana for the mice at all. He thinks he was doing blia, and in fact he was doing shasiya. Now the question arises, why is it that in Shabbos he's potur, and in Chelev, he's Chayev? So this is a world-famous sugya in Masechta Kresos, and the Gemara establishes there a principle called Shekein Nen, which means that if you were involved in one action, and that was what you thought you were doing, but it turns out that you did a totally different action that you weren't aware of, if you have Hanas HaGuf, if your physical body benefits from it, then you're chayav. The physical hana, the benefit, the pleasure that your body gets, removes the status of mesasek and puts you back in the category of shogeg for a chiyuv chata. So in the case of chelev, where even though he had no intention to drink anything, he was just swallowing his saliva, but his body enjoyed the benefit of the chelev. Again, this all presumes that the chelev is roi lachila, you know, it's not something that would damage and harm him, etc., etc. Then, in such a case, he's chayev. And why is he chayev? Despite the fact that he's a mesasek, he had no intention for a shesia, but shekein nena, because his body had hanoa. In Shabbos, in the 39 malachas, there's no one single malacha where he benefits physically from the malacha. If lu yitzuyer, you would have an overlap between a melecha Shabbos and a hanas haguf, if you could come up with such a case, then enochinami would say that you're chayav a korban even for violating Shabbos b'misasek. Itmar. Now what we're going to do is, we're going to try to see if we can apply the machlokas between Abai v'Rava in Shabbos in other cases of Hotzah. Now, one of the various toldos of Hotzah is called Zrika. And in the case of Rishus HaRabim, if he throws an object from the beginning of four Amos and it lands four Amos later in Rishus HaRabim, he's Chayav HaChatos. And now we're going to apply the machlokes between Abai Varov and the following case, Itmar. Niskavein Lizrok Shtayim. He's standing in Rishus HaRabim. He intends to throw it two Amos, and he threw it four Amos. In other words, he gave a little bit more power into his throwing arm than he had originally intended to do so. And now he's violated Meleches Zrika Bershus HaRabim Dalet Amos, for which he should be chayav a korban chatos. Nevertheless, Rava Omar Potur. Abaye Omar Chayev. So we understand Abaye intuitively. This is a case of Shkoga. He violated Shabbos unintentionally. He's got to bring a Korban Chatos. Rav Omar Potter, what's the reason? This makes him into a Misasek. Why? Deloka Mechavein Lizrika Diarba. Rava says we can classify two different types of Zrikos. There's one Zrika called Shteyamos, and there's another Zrika called Arbamos. And the halacha sets it up as two distinct actions. And his kavana was for action A, and inadvertently he did action B. That's called misasek. And again, there's no anos haguf, and therefore he's potur. Abai Omar Chayav, Dorko Mechavein Lizrika Bialma. He did have kavana for his Zrika, albeit only for a two Amma worth Zrika. But nevertheless, a Maisa Zriki has. And this, according to Abai, parallels the case where he had in mind a Chaticha to cut something, and instead of cutting something that was detached, he cut something that was attached. Now the Gemara gives another example of the nafkamina between Rav and Abai. Kasavurishus Hayachid. He was throwing something in what he thought was his private backyard, but Nimtzeis Rishus HaRabim. It turns out that it was a Rishus HaRabim. Now, to appreciate how a person can make such a mistake, we have to know a little bit more about the difference between Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYochid. We have that back on Daf Vav at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. And all this has to do with Mechitzos. So I'll give you an example. There are Tanoim who hold that two Mechitzos are enough to set aside a Rishus HaYochid. So imagine the following scenario. You've got a Rishus HaRabim, and you've got a house on the right side and a house on the left side, exactly parallel to each other. Now, believe it or not, the Rosh Hashanah is going through the middle. These two houses are on two sides of a highway, a major highway. And according to one sheet in Tanoim, I'm just using this as an example to get the idea of it, that area from one house to another on a Doraisa level is all a Rosh Hashanah, because the facade of one house and the facade of the other house form two different mechitzos. And if he carries something from one house to the other house, straight across the Rosh Hashanah, he has not taken it across the Rosh Hashanah, he's taking it through a Rosh Hashanah, because this is surrounded by two mechitzos. Suffice it to say, I'm just giving you an example where you could be very, very confused about whether an area is called Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah. He thought, mistakenly, that he was throwing an object in a Rosh Hashanah. It turns out it was a Rosh Hashanah, and it carried four amos. And he had a full intention to throw it for amos. Is Rav Amar Potur, Abay Amar Chayev? Rav Amar Potur, Dilhol Lo Mechavin Lizrika Di Isura. A Zrika Rosh Hashanah and a Zrika Rosh Hashanah are two fundamentally different types of Zrika. And that's on a halachic level, on a legal level, not in reality. In reality, to the naked eye, they're both zrikos, and he had kavanah for zrika. But al pi halacha, just like we said about the different kinds of chaticha, you could have a cutting of a detached and a cutting of a detached, and Rava sets that up as two different types and forms of chaticha. So to hear, there are two different forms of zrika. He had kavanah for one zrika, and it turned out he did a different zrika. That's a misasek, and he's part of Abay Omer Chayev, kamachavi lizrika v'alma. He definitely had intention to throw something, and in this case, even four amos. Utsricha, we need each one of these three cases. Diashmin and kamaisa. If we only had the first case, where Rava says that if he had kavanah to cut something which he mistakenly thought was tolsh, and it turned out to be mechubar, I would have thought, Bahu ke omar rava, de holo kamachavin lechaticha de isura. Since he had no intention to cut something in a way that's prohibited because he thinks he's cutting a vegetable that's ready for salad. Avol niskavin lizrok shtayim vizorik arba. In this case, he really had kavana for those two amos as part of a larger zrika of four amos. The arba below tarti lo mizrikale, in order to achieve four amos, you have to throw it at least two amos, and then it has to carry another two amos. And therefore you cannot throw an object four amos without throwing it two amos. So now we could say that in this Havamina, the Zrika of two amos is swallowed up in the larger Zrika of four amos. And in fact, he did have Kavana Zrika. His aim, I might think, Modele La Baye. In this case, he's not a Misasik at all, even according to Rava's definition of Misasik, and therefore you'd have to bring a Karbon. Kamash Malon, that even in this case, since his kavana was for a zrika of only two amos, we nevertheless set that up as a separate entity, a separate maisa zrika, which is not a zrika di sura, and it's fundamentally different than four amos. V'yashmina b'ha, and if we had the first and the second cases, where Rava says that he's potur, b'haka my Rava. In those cases, he's potur the halo kamachavin lizrika di arba. Because zrika di arba is a separate entity in Rosh Hashanah when you throw it four amos. And he had no intention to throw it four amos. That's a misasik. Avol b'rishus hayochid v'nimtza rishus harabim. There's a zrika in Rosh Hashanah, there's a zrika in Rosh Hashanah. The makavin lizrika liarba, he indeed threw it with a force that it would end up four amos down the line. Ema module labaya, I think that here Rava would agree that's not called a misasek because he had in mind a zrika, albeit a zrika in Rishus HaYachid, but nevertheless he did have in mind the zrika. Tzricha, therefore I need to tell us that even in this case, where he mistakenly confused the Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, but he had kavanah zrika arba, that it's still considered misasek, and therefore Rava would say he's potur. Tnan, we learned in the Mishnah. In fact, this Mishnah is the Mishnah that we're going to learn in a minute or two. Himitz Hashem. The Mishnah tells the 39 Malachas. We ask, why do I need the Mishnah to tell me how many labors there I could count it? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Shema's son, Kurulam Elam Echad, Chayav Al Kolachas V'Yachas. Rabbi Yochanan wants to tell us that the maximum number of chatos you could bring for the violation of any particular Shabbos is 39, which would mean that if he forgot it was Shabbos, or let me say it the other way around, he knew it was Shabbos, but he was unaware of the malachos, then he is a shogeg for each malacha, and we have a halacha called malachos mechalkos. Every malacha is considered like a separate avera, like chelev and dam, and therefore it generates its own chiv chatos. According to Abaye, who says that, let's say a person was a little bit confused about his action. For example, Mishkachas lei diyada isura de Shabbos. He was aware of the prohibitions of Shabbos. Viyada la isur malachas. And for that matter, he was aware of all the 39 malachas. But vikata bishi urin. He made a mistake about the minimum shear of any particular malacha. So for example, he thought that the minimum shear of Hotzah in Oakland, let's say he carries out of Oakland from Rishus HaYoch, Rishus Rab, he thought the minimum shear to be chai would be a kezayis, and it turns out that it's a krogeres. So according to Abaye, he would have to bring a karbon in this case. So we have a very clear-cut, simple way of understanding the Mishnah, how a person who knows about Shabbos, he knows about the malachas of Shabbos, nevertheless he's a shkoga, and he brings 39 malachas, because in each case he makes a mistake about the minimum shear for which he's chayav. He thinks the minimum shear is much larger, and instead, it turns out to be a more minimum quantity shear. Elo le Rava di Omar Potur. But according to Rava, the only time you chayv a karbon chatos is when you have a kavana to a maisa isur. Like, for example, you had kavana to cut down something that was attached and you knew it was attached, but you didn't realize it was Shabbos, so you didn't realize you're not allowed to cut down something that's attached. That's shogeg. But in a case where he makes a mistake in shiurim, and he thinks what he's doing is perfectly mutter, he doesn't realize that already with a kigrogeres he's chayav. In such a case, according to Rava, he's going to be potter from a karmon. That's called misasik. So hechi mishkachas la, how can you have a person who is going to generate 39 malachos? You're going to have to come up with the following answer. We have no choice but to say Zdon Shabbos v'shigas malachas. Now, here's a very strange case. He knows this Shabbos. He knows that today is Shabbos, but he doesn't know any of the 39 malachas. How could he be a shogeg and know it's Shabbos, but not be aware of any of the malachas? Hanichi Savralah, Kirab Yochanan. We could square off Rav, if he holds like Rav Yochanan, the Omer came in Shishagag Bekare, Safal Pisha Yizid Bilav, is then, all he has to do is he doesn't realize that if he violates Shabbos, that he is a Bishogig, that he's Chayav a, no, I'm sorry, just another one, Kevan Shishagag Bekare, oh, in other words, he knows that Shabbos is an Avera, but mistakenly thinks it's a classic Avera, and it doesn't generate a Chiyuv Kares, is according to Rabbi Yochanan, even though he knows what he's doing is an Avera, he's still called a Shogeg. He's Mishkachas Lei. Now I understand how you could have a case of Zdon Shabbos v'Shigas Malachas. He knew today was Shabbos, but he thinks mistakenly Belav. It's only a violation of a Lav, which I say it's like eating Nevela. And therefore he's a shogeg. Ella, but what if we say that Rava should be free? Tohol like Reish Lakish, Tavalok Reish Lakish, the Omer Achi Yishkog Belava Kares. That according to Reish Lakish, you're only called a shogeg if you mistakenly think that what you're doing is mutter. Is the Yodale B'Shabbos B'Mai? You're telling me he thinks that you're allowed to violate all all 39 melachas. So what is Shabbos? And your answer is Bitchumin Valibid Rabbi Akiva. He has a strange conception of Shabbos, that Shabbos is a quarantine day in which you're not allowed to walk outside the city beyond 2,000 amah. That's what Shabbos is all about. He doesn't know anything else about Shabbos. And in such a case, he's considered as Don Shabbos, because he knows about the entity of Shabbos, albeit as far as Tchumen is concerned. And now every time he violates a malacha, which he thinks is mutter, he has to bring a separate karban for each malacha. And now I think we're about to learn perhaps what is the most famous Mishnah in the entire Masechta Shabbos. Avos melachos arboim chasar achas. So what are the 39 melachos? Okay, now the Mishnah is going to give us a list of the 39. And if anyone's interested, you can join my group. This is not an advertisement, but I have a group where every day you'll get the Daf Yomi Barichus, which is more of a, let's say I do one Amud. So I have a whole shiur on this Mishnah, which I go through all 39 one by one. But we can't do that now. We'll just translate simply in order to get the Daf down for today. Hazorea. Now this is strange, as we'll see in the Gemara, that the Mishnah opens up with Zorea, with planting. The next one is Achoresh. The order is reversed, and that's going to be the sugya that we want to learn today. Why does the Mishnah have planting and then plowing? You know, you have to plow the field before you can plant it. And the sequence seems to be fluky. Now, these two malachos are the first of a category of malachos called Sidura de Pas, which is made up of 11 different malachos that culminate with afia, with baking of bread. So how do we get a bread from scratch? We start with choresh, and then we go to zorea. The wheat grows, vakotzer, and he cuts down the wheat. He harvests them. Hama'amer. Ma'amer means he has various shibolim, and he gathers them together into a pile. Hadash means that he has a surrounding over something that's edible, and he bangs it, and he removes that covering which has to be thrown away. Sore is when he throws the kernels up in the air and he catches them on a pan, and in the meantime the wind blows away the chaff. Borer means he takes that which he doesn't want, little pebbles and so forth, and he throws it out. Hatochen is when he grinds something. Meraked is when he uses a certain specific type of a utensil, which we'll talk about at great length, and he sifts something. So for example, let's say he pours flour that hasn't been sifted yet, and the part that remains on top of the sifter, that's the part that he wants to get rid of. Halosh, and lush means one of two things. Either it means pouring water into flour, or kneading after you pour the water. That's going to be a major to-do. Finally, culminating these 11 in ha'ofeh, in baking. And the Sukkot of a Rebbe, who's very famous for two works, the Avni Nezer, which is a collection of responsa, and his Igle Tal, which was meant to be, in his original intention, a great study of, in-depth study of all 39 malachas. He only made it through to Afia. And many, many other authors since that time have tried to complete his task for the other 30 malachas, the other 29 malachas. Hagozes is Hatzemer. Now we get to a second group of malachos, which are necessary for preparing clothing. So first he shears the wool off the back of the sheep. And we'll have a whole sugya later on in Masechta Shabbos about shearing off hairs from a human body, or plucking out hairs, snipping one's mustache and so forth. That comes under Gozes. Then we have Malabno. Once he has the wool in its natural state, he has to whiten the wool. Menapto means the wool is full of knots, and he has to take out these knots, and we'll see exactly how he does that. Does he need a special kli? We're not yet ready for clothing, because we still have to get threads, and we have to get dyes. Vatsovo means to dye, D-Y-E, and he paints it. Vatove, and he spins the wool together to make threads. Okay. Now we get to a series of four malachos that are part of the weaving process. The first is called Mesich. Now, in order to appreciate Mesich, we have to know that there's something called a Shasi and something called an Arev. A Shasi are the threads that go, let's call it north and south. So you have on the top a roll that has two legs to it, and you have a similar roll on the bottom. And what you do is you stretch the threads of the shasi, and then you're ready for weaving the arev. The arev is the one that goes from left to right, or right to left. We'll call it horizontal as opposed to vertical. And in the case of Mesich, you always need at least two threads. Now, it's not enough that you stretch them from one side to the other, because if they're straight across, then you're not going to be able to weave. But that brings us to the next malachah called a Oseh Shtei Batei Nirin. So, you know, you have these two rollers, you know, that hold on to the shasi and stretch them out. And now what you need is you've got to put these threads of shasi into batei nirin. The two batei nirin. The batei nirin each one is a kind of a, almost like a net. And it has a hole in the middle. Otherwise, it has threads that are taut, or any kind of material, wires or whatever that are taut. And he's going to put his chassis threads in through one of the batei nirin, one of those holes, and coming out through the other, so that the arev, which is the, as we said, going from the other direction, that's only one thread, that's going to be woven in and out, up and down. Then he has ha'oreg shnei chutim. Now he has to make sure that he has at least two threads that are ready for, you know, going in and out. Okay, that's called weaving. Vapotzea shnei chutim. And now he has different kinds of threads that stick out, they jut out. They have to be cut off in order to improve the process of weaving, and he cuts them off. Now we get to another two malachos that belong to a set, and that's more or less for the fishermen, HaKosher VeHaMatir. When I say the fishermen, those are the ones who go out to trap the chilazon that we're going to use to make the tcheles in the Mishkan, and they used to tie some very professional and permanent knots. Vamatir. Matir means that sometimes there's a break in the knot, or it's not tied properly, it's not going to last, so you have to take out what you've already tied in order to retie it again. That's called matir. And atofesh de tfiros. Now we're talking about sewing. So he sews two stitches, a minimum of two stitches, hakorea. Now we have a case of ripping. Why would ripping be a malacha? And the Gemara is going to discuss this at great length. And it's almanas litvar shtei tfiros. There's some cases where he has to actually rip in order to make it possible to sew two straight stitches. Now we get to all the malachas that are necessary for R, ayin vav resh, which means hides. Number one, hatsad tzvi. He's got to trap a deer. The Gemara is going to say it's lav dafka deer, any animal. Vashochto. Now he's got to slaughter it. There'd be a whole discussion why the Mishnah says shochto. It should have said no-tel neshama, because it doesn't have to be shchita. Okay, fine. Vamafshito. Mafshito means he has this animal after slaughtering. He's got to now take off the hides. And that's called mafshit. Molcho. He has to salt it. And when he puts salt on the hides, then he is now ready to make the tanning process because the hides are very, very rough. He has to salt them in order to soften them and then be able to tan them. And finally, in this particular section, we're going to have what's called Ma'abides Oro HaMemachko VeHamachatcho. He's got to tan the hides, okay, and that has to do with really smoothing them out. He has to trace certain lines in order to make sure that he gets the strips that he wants. He's got to not only smoothen them, he's got to cut them after he makes the lines. And that's the Malach of Mechatech. This Malach of Mechatech in contemporary life is one of the most important Malachas to learn about. We have many, many cases which might possibly come under Mechatech, and the contemporary poskim are going to decide what exactly Mechatech is. But Mechatech means whenever you cut something at a certain point, you know, you have to make it a certain cut that goes from point X to point Y. HaKosev, he writes, and what's the minimum amount of writing? Ishte osios, a minimum of two letters. Vamochik almanas lichto shteo. Somehow, sometimes he doesn't have enough room on the parchment unless he erases letters so that now he could write letters. So if he erases maybe even one letter, but now he exposes an area on the parchment for writing two letters, that's called hamochko. Then we have habonev asoser, building and demolishing. Again, he demolishes in order to restructure the building in a more positive way. Hamachabe, he puts out something, and that will help him to prepare for hamavir, for lighting something. And finally, we have amongst the molochos that involve some sort of change in a physical object, we end up with makav patish, which is 38 out of 39. And that's the final blow, meaning after he did all the malachas, now he needs one last blow in order to perfect it. And amotzi mirshus l'shus, which as we know is the most complicated of all the malachas. Half of Masechta Shabbos is dedicated to this one malacha of amotzi mirshus l'shus. Harei elu, just to finish the Mishnah, and then Michael, you're on. Harei elu avos malachos arboim chaser achas. And here we turn to Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. Yes.
It's just interesting that you have building and demolishing. So building is doing something sort of, as it were, positive or starting an action. Demolishing is destroying what's already been started. But then the next two seem to be the opposite way around. Shouldn't lighting come before extinguishing? I mean, you need something to be lit before it's extinguished. Why put extinguished before light?
You mean the Seder?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a long discussion. It's an excellent question. But again, we still have a whole Amud to do in the next 20 minutes. So let's try. Minyan Olamali, this we're familiar with. Why did the Mishnah have to specify 39 Malachos? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shemason Kulam Behelim Achas, is Eino Chayev Al Kol Achas V'Achas. This is the principle that we've learned called Malachos Machalkos, Chiluke Malachos. And if in one Halama, in one forgetfulness, he violated multiple malachas, he brings multiple chatos. Hazorea vehachoresh. First, what? He plants and then he plows? Michti, I don't understand. Michrav karchi, that's the Aramaic words for plowing. Beresha first. And only then, after he plows, now he could seed the ground. Is listening, it makes sense that he should have choresh first, vehodar, and afterwards, listening zorea. And the Gemara answers, Tana bi Eretz Yisrael koi. And in Eretz Yisrael, they have a very interesting system. And we'll explain why. Dezari bereisha v'hoder karve. What they do is they prepare the ground, they seed, and then they cover the seed with another plowing. In other words, there are two plowings. There's a plowing to begin the process of softening the ground, and that will allow you to put the plant the seed into the ground. But then you need a second plowing that's going to happen after the seeding, and the purpose of the second plowing is to make sure that there's soft ground on top of the seed. Now, many Rishonim say that the purpose of the second plowing is to prepare for the next planting. But that's a little bit of a problem, because if it's for the next planting, then once again, you know, the Gemara would come back to its original question, and again, you know, you have to have the plowing before the planting. Right, if every plowing is going to be just prepared for planting, so it must be that this plowing, and that's the Shita of Rashi and others, is coming to secure and to improve the planting itself. So it's post-planting plowing. Well, are those all P's? Post-planting plowing. Okay. Now, what does it mean, post-planting plowing? So in Eretz Yisrael, the ground is tough. Eretz Yisrael is a tough ground. That's why we have to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So for the farmers, they have to do not just one plowing, they have to do a second plowing, so that the seed is covered on both sides, beneath and above, with relatively soft ground. If you don't do the second plowing, then the seed is not going to take in Eretz Yisrael. The ground is too tough. You have to make sure that the seed is covered with soft ground. And for that, you require another harisha. So imagine, Rabbos, like in Eretz Yisrael, you might be chayav three different chatos. Possibly. Okay, it depends on helimachas or shtei alomos. But in theory, you might be chayav for the first plowing, then for the seeding, that subsequent, and then the subsequent plowing, the second plowing, you have three different violations. Again, for technical reasons, since it's the same malacha twice, and if it was behalim achas, maybe you'd only bring two chatos. But in pure theory, if you had different yedios and yedios machalkos, then you would bring three different chatos. So you have a harisha that comes before the zriya and one that comes after the zriya. That's in Eretz Yisrael. Tana, we learned in a Braisa. Now the Braisa wants to tell you that there are five categories of Melecha Zorea. And basically, what's common to all five is that you improve the productivity of the plant. So Zorea means you make it possible for the plant to grow. Zomer means that sometimes, if the branches are growing and growing and growing, you could speed up the productivity by pruning and taking off some of the branches. Notea means that you take a shasil, you take a little tree, you know, the beginning of a tree, and you put it into the ground. Then we have something called mavrich and something called markiv. The difference between the two is, in the case of mavrich, what you do is you take a branch of a tree, and without cutting it off, you dip it into the ground, and it comes up and produces a whole new offspring, so to speak, a whole new tree on the other side. Whereas markiv is a case where you, what you do is you take off from a tree and you sever a branch, and then you can replant that branch. What's common again is kula malacha achas, saying they all belong to the same category of zorea, which would mean that if you violated each one of these five, behelim achas, and one forgetfulness, you'd only bring one karma, because it's all one malacha. Now again, in a shiur that I gave, there are many, many different issues here, and different opinions, which is the av, which is the tolda, are they all avos, are they all toldas, except for zorea? Very complicated, but very fascinating issue. My kamashmalan, ha kamashmalan, also malachas harbe, may malacha achas, is harei, is Einam Chayav Ela Achas. That if he performs all these different five malachas in one forgetfulness, he only brings one chatos, because he's basically, you know, it's like someone who ate chelev and ate chelev, he ate dam and he ate dam. It's a repetition of the same malach. Omer Av Acha, Omer Av Chiyo Barashi, Omer Av Ami, Zomer Chayav Mishum Notea, Va Notea, Va Mavrich, Va Marchiv Chayav Mishum Zorea. What Rabbi Acha is teaching us here is that there are two avos within the five. Again, this is according to some Rishonim. One is called Notea, and the other is called Zorea. And the difference is that in the case of Notea, we're talking about a tree, and we're talking about pruning a tree, in the case of Zomer, and that is a subcategory, a tolda, of Notea. So again, instead of planting a tree, What he does is he has an existing tree, and he, by pruning it, he improves the productivity. He maximizes the productivity of that tree. So that Zomer is a subcategory of Noteya. Now you might ask, my nafkimina, and it has to do with the laws of Asra. For example, if I have to give you Asra on a toldan, I have to mention the name of the Av, so you're about to be Zomer, I have to mention to you that, watch out, you're about to violate Noteya. Now Noteya, Marvich, and Markiv are all subcategories of Zorea. Why? Because these are all different ways of putting something into the ground, whether it's a seed in the case of the Av Malacha, which is Zorea, or it's some sort of a sapling, a shasil, in the case of Notea, and in Markiv and Mavrich we have those different cases with branches and so forth and so on that we discussed earlier. Now this Brisa seems to assume that you can have an Av, you can have a Tolda, and you can have a Tolda of a Tolda. And that's the famous sheet of Rabbeinu Chananel, that even a Tolda could have a Tolda. So basically we have one Av, which is called Zorea. We have Notea, which is the Tolda of Zorea. And then under Notea, we have other Toldos, and they're all Toldos of Zorea. The only problem with that is, then why is Zomer considered a Tolda of Notea? The answer is that if it's a Tolda of Notea, then Notea itself is a Tolda of Zorea. Again, all this has to be studied by Ian Gudel. Mishim Zorea im Mishum Notea lo. I don't understand. If somebody, for example, does Markiv and Markiv, we said he's Chayiv Mishum Zorea. What do you mean he's Chayiv Mishum Zorea? He is now taking parts of a tree, branches of a tree, and he's planting them. Ema Af Mishum Zorea. In other words, what we're saying is that although these are subcategories of Notea, because Notea is in Ilonos, but nevertheless, Notea itself is a subcategory of Zorea. So you'd have two options in the case of Asra in Markiv and Markiv. You could either be Masrim Mishum Zorea, which would be the overarching Av, or Mishum Notea. Amar Rav Kahana, Zomer Vitzach Lietzim. Now we're beginning a new sugya. Sort of. And this sugya addresses the following question. Can you do one action and generate two different malachas, violating two different malachas, and you have to bring two chatos? And the answer is going to be yes, yes, and yes. We're going to have three different amoroim. Each one wants to, in a different case, wants to tell you that you could do one maisa, one action, and violate two malachos. The first case of Kahana, Zomer Vitzorech Li'etzim. He prunes, but he also needs the cuttings, you know, those twigs or whatever you want to call them that he cuts off, because he has his bonfire and he needs wood for fuel for his bonfire. He's chayv shtayim. Achas mishum kotzer, achas mishum notea. So we understand notea because by cutting down these extra branches or vines or so forth and so on, he improves the productivity of the vine or the tree, whatever it might be. But in addition, since he wants to take the twigs or whatever he cuts off, the branches, and throw it into his bonfire, that's called kotzer. Kotzer means whenever I cut something off, because I want to take it, right? Harvesting. Now we have another case, where he's chayv shtayim, for one action. Omer Av Yosef, Haiman, de kotel aspasta. Now aspasta is a very interesting kind of plant. It actually could produce on a, you know, multiple times. And usually every crop is an annual crop, you know, or sometimes a biannual crop. But here is a crop that you let it grow like one shlish, one third, you cut it down, and again it starts producing. And all that is going to be animal fodder. And now he cuts it down, and he's chayiv twice. Why? Two malachas and two chatos for one action. What are these two malachas? Achas mishum kotzer, the achas mishum notea. In other words, the aspasta that he cuts off in its very early stage is already animal fodder. But not only that, he improves the productivity of this aspasta. So because he takes the animal fodder, he's chayv mishum kotzer. And because he improves the productivity, he is now chayv mishum notea as well. And now we have number three is Abaye. Omar Abaye, high minded Kaniv Silka, if he slices a beet, or some say it's a spinach, into very thin slices, Chayv Shtay, very thin slices, Achas Mishum Kotzer, so he's talking about beets that are growing in the ground, and now he cuts them off, and he cuts them piece by piece, and Achas Mishum, again, whether it's Notea or Zorea, which means that by cutting down this silka, it's going to improve the productivity of the silka. Now in the Mishnah we have Achoresh. And once again we're going to have a Braisa to give us a whole group of molochos that are included under the general category of Choresh and plowing. Achoresh, v'achofer. Chofer means, instead of using a machresha, which is a special plow, he digs into the ground and makes a hole in order to plant a seed in that hole. V'achoretz. Choretz means that he takes some sort of an object and cuts into the ground such that the ground spills over on one side and on the other side, and he creates charitzim. We once touched on this when we spoke about dragging, if you remember, dragging couches on soft ground, if you remember. It makes charitzim, which prepares the ground for zriya, is kula malocha achasin, and therefore if he violates all these three actions, well, with one halama, one forgetfulness, he brings only one chatas. Omrav sheshes. Okay, now there are two malachos that on the outside, when you look at it, they're identical. And yet they belong to two different malachas, depending upon the location, where you do it. Haisalo gavshushis vinitola. He's got a little bit of a mound, and he flattens the ground. So where did he do this? If he did it in his house, is chayev mishum bona. Why? Because anything that improves a structure, in this case the floor of his house, because who wants to have a gavshushis, is that's called meleches bona. But if he does the same exact action in the sada, chayev mishum choresh. Choresh means he improves the ground for planting. And by removing this gavshushes, it's going to be much easier now to plant. And that's called meleches choresh. So here's a melacha which fits under two melachos, an action fits under two possible melachos, depending upon where you do the action. Omar Rava, Haisalo Guma Vitmama. This is kind of like the opposite. He's got a ditch, and he fills in the ditch. Bebayis, if he does on his house, you know, nobody wants to trip on a hole in the house, is Chayav Mishum Bona. He's improving the structure of his house. And that's Melechus Bona. Besada Mishum Choresh. But if you want to prepare for plowing, then you want to fill in all these holes, because otherwise the plow is not going to be able to successfully plow the ground. Omar Rabbi Abba, Hachofer Guma B'Shabbos V'Eino Tzorech El Liafra. We just said that if you dig a hole, then you prepare it for planting. But here's a case where he's not interested in planting. Let's say he does in his house, or perhaps he has no interest in planting. And all he's doing by digging the hole is he needs access to offer. He needs offer to put it in a different place, to cover something. Is potur alei? He should be potur. Why is he potur? Because he has no intention to prepare the ground for planting. So that's not called harisha. Chayav. What about according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, I don't care what he needs it for. As long as he needs it, and it's constructive, he needs it to get access to the offer, he's chayav. But here we're talking about a case where he digs a hole in his house. He's so desperate to get the offer. Is Hani Mili Misaken? Hi Makalkel Hu. But this is not constructive for his house. On the contrary, it's destructive, because holes in your house, in the floor of your house, are not very healthy. Hakotzer. Let's group a whole list of actions under one malacha called kotzer. Hakotzer. Mean we're talking about grains, and botzer, we're talking about anovim, and goder, we're talking about zesim, and then we have mosaic, which is talking about olives. crops, and then we have Oreh, which is talking about figs. And basically, these are all different words in our language for different different foodstuffs, but they're all Ktsira. These are just different words of describing a harvest. It's Kula Malacha Achas, and it's all one Malacha. And therefore, he brings only one chata, so he violates all these more. Amar Rav Papa Haiman de Shada Pisa Ledikla. There's a date tree, and he takes a clump of earth, and he throws it up on the top of the date tree, and two things happen. This is another case that belongs to the threefold case that we had before, where you do one action, and you chayav for two malachas. Atar Tamre, first of all, by the sheer impact of the clump of earth the date falls down to the ground. So that's called tolesh. Tolesh is another way of saying kotzer. But not only that, what happens is, because of the impact of the clump of earth on the tamar, the date, gets separated from its covering. It becomes detached from its covering. And that's called mefarik. And mefarik is a told of dash. And if you remember when we spoke earlier about dash, we said that in dash, he removes a covering over a foodstuff. So Rav Ashi says, no, I can't accept this. Ein der tlisha bekach, ein der prika bekach. This is not the normal way that you cut something down by throwing a clump of earth at it, or prika in order to take it away and separate it from its covering by throwing a clump of earth at it. And in Shabbos, we have a principle called Meleches Machsheves, which means that you have to do it, the Melech has to be implemented in exactly the way that it's a perfect way, in a professional way. This is not the accepted way of doing Tlisha or a Mefarik. This is unusual. Often I thought that maybe this Gemara has something else in mind here. I don't see that anyone says this, that this might be what's called grumma. Because what happens is that it really is indirect. You know, I don't know. All right, forget it. Anyhow, Ma'amer, gathering together, Omer Rava Haiman, the Kanif Milcha mi Milchasa, if he gathers salt from the salt mines, is Chayav Mishum Ma'amer. And the Chiddush here is that even though salt doesn't grow from the ground, nevertheless it's included on the Ma'amer. Abai disagrees. Abai Omer Ein Imur El Bigdui Karka. Imur is part of the process of Sidur de Pas. All 11 Malachas, like Imur included, apply to that which grows from the ground. V'adosh. And what about threshing? Tana Hadosh V'amenapet 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 is Kula Malacha Achasein. Here are three different malachos that all belong to one malacha. One is dash, right? Dash means he takes the grains and he removes the kernel from the grain. Menapetz is in flax, is also covered by a certain covering, and you have to beat it down in order to remove all those pieces of straw, whatever they are. And finally, we have the case of a napet, where he cleans the cotton oil, he sort of like combs the cotton, and removes the impurities. Again, this is a difficult sugya here, menapetz, because menapetz is actually listed as its own malacha within Ariga, but that only applies when you're making a cloth. Here you're not preparing a cloth. Hazorev, aborev, atochem, v'amarakev. There are four malachos that get rid of the psoles. First of all, you throw it up to the air. That's called winnowing, zora, and then you have boreh, where you actually pluck out the small pieces. And then you have tochein and merakid. Like, tochein is something different, but merakid is sifting. So the Gemara asks, hainu zora, hainu boreh, hainu merakid. Why these three separate malachas when they're all coming for the same exact purpose, to remove the psoles? You can do it with the air, the wind. You can do it by taking it out by hand. You could do it with a sifter. Abai v'rova d'amri chavayu, and they came to the following common answer: Kol milsa dahavi v'mishkan on the top of Ayin Dalet af al gav de'ika de'damyale. If there were three different processes in the Mishkan, then if it was done in the Mishkan chashivle, That gives it a certain chashivus. So you can have three different malachas, all of which come to the same purpose, the same tachlis, but if they were done separately in the Mishkan, in a process of finally getting, you know, the fine flour, then you're chayef for each one. So now we have a new definition of malacha, as far as av malacha is concerned. An av malacha is not just because of its tachlis, its purpose, but also because it's in the Mishkan. And you can have three different pa'ulos, three different actions, all of which were done and implemented in the Mishkan. They all have the same purpose, and you would have counted them as one av, but we're going to count them as separate avos because they were done in the Mishkan, which gives it a separate chashiv.